We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
What's this stuff?
It's Jesus. He's supposed to be good for you.
Did you try it?
I'm not gonna try it. You try it.
I'm not gonna try it.
Let's get Mikey.
Yeah. He won't eat it. He hates everything.
He likes it. Hey, Mikey!
Jesus Christ is living and active at Redemption Church. We encourage you to try new things in Jesus at all times. Things like worship, things like Bible study, things like gifts of the Spirit. We believe that these things can be beneficial to your life. So try it. You'll like it.
My name is Chris Blewett, and I'm the lead pastor here at Redemption Church. I'm glad everybody's here. Y'all okay? Y'all having fun today? Are you glad you came to the house of the Lord today?
Yeah.
Good, I'm glad. Most things in life, you can't say you like until you've tried them. Nor are you really able to declare your dislike until you've tried it. Likely, it's not that you don't like it. Maybe, perhaps, it's that you haven't tried it. You can have an opinion on the aesthetic of the thing, right? You can look at a salad, for instance, and that salad looks gross. I remember as a kid, that's what I would tell my parents. Salads are gross. And they would say, well, will you eat some? And I said, I'll eat some when I'm 1 year older. And that, like, continued from the time I was 4 years old to the time I was 14 years old. All right. But the truth is, you really haven't been exposed to all that the salad has to offer by looking at the salad.
Right.
There's more to the salad than that. And if you try that salad and perhaps dose it with ranch dressing, you'll like it. Roller coasters, for example, they look scary. Anybody, everyone agree, roller coasters look scary. The first time you ever ride a roller coaster or one of those amusement park rides, I'm always a little nervous. It's like I've never ridden this before. Recently, I rode, it's not the Superman, it's the one that goes way high in the air, the very new one. Scariest ride I've ever ridden. Oh my goodness, but I kind of liked it, but I'm still maybe too scared to ride it. But there's a crazy part of all of our minds that enjoys danger, that enjoys taking risks. And if you try riding one of those roller coasters, you may just like it. I hate going to plays. You hear anyone ever say that? But then someone asks, oh, really? You hate going to plays? What plays have you been to that made you decide you hate all plays? And then you stammer, well, before finally saying, well, I've only really been to like junior high level plays mainly. How can you slam the door on something and say I don't like it if you've never really tried it?
Yeah.
We all have stories of experiences that we went into them thinking, I perhaps am not going to enjoy this. I have to do this. Someone asked me to do this. I'm probably not going to like it at all. But then you left saying, you know what? That was better than I expected. Maybe someone dragged you to a movie starring an actor that you don't usually care for, Keanu Reeves. But you said, I can't stand Keanu Reeves movies. But you left saying, you know, I was really glad I saw that. I know I'm really stretching. There was The Matrix, right? Just not the second or third. All right.
Point Break.
Maybe you were forced to eat at a restaurant that doesn't serve your normal cuisine of burgers and fries. Maybe they served Indian curry or Japanese sushi. And you were like, oh, okay, I'll go. I have to go. But you actually tried it. And maybe it was better than you thought it would be. Maybe you have an experience like that. Or maybe you were drugged to church. Maybe you're drugged to church today, or maybe somebody's guilted you into watching this this sermon right here. So you're checking out the sermon, or you're here at church, and maybe you're thinking, you know, this religion thing, it's not just for me. I'm just here because someone brought me here. Well, I want you to know that we can understand that, because at one point or time, we've all been there. At one point in time, none of us were walking out in faith. We totally get that. Could you at least be open to the thought that you can't say you don't like something until you've tried it. Can you at least be open to that, that you really can't say you dislike something until you've tried it? And who knows, maybe today you'll have a better experience than you expected. I want to tell you that the things of God are better than expected. A guy named Abram had a conversation with God. Conversations can sometimes be painful. He has this really small conversation. Conversations, what can you expect from a conversation, right? Well, this one surpassed everything Abram expected, because it ends up opening up into an everlasting covenant that God has with Abram and all of his children. And God changes his name to Abraham, and we're here today because of that conversation. You talk about a conversation that was better than anyone could have expected. And Jesus took a small sack lunch of fish and bread. And the maker of that lunch was probably a mother. We can picture that. And she was probably, you know, making this for my son. No way in the world could she ever imagine that God would get a hold of that. And not only would it feed her little boy, but it would feed Jesus, the 12 disciples, and 5,000 other people. When Jesus gets a hold of something, it ends up being better than expected. And Jesus didn't just heal people. He didn't just heal the paralyzed man. He looks down at the paralyzed man and says, "Your sins are forgiven." The people that brought him there that day, they could not have expected that. We have a God that's better than expected. Ephesians 3:20. We've been talking about this scripture for the last several weeks. I think someone needs to hear this. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations and forever and ever." And somebody said, amen. Well, this Jesus we're talking about, this God is able to do immeasurably more. He always does better than you expected, exceedingly, abundantly beyond our expectations. The Bible is full of stories of men and women who gave God a try, and they ended up really liking him. Right. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at some of the things in God that you just have to try before you can ever like them. Is that fair? There are some things in God you have to try before you can ever say you do like them or dislike them. Okay. Today, we invite you to try faith. You'll like it. Look at somebody and say, try faith, you'll like it. Faith is one thing you can't really say you like until you've tried it. Hebrews 11 and 1 gives us the definition of faith. It says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Are you certain? Are you sure? Like Hebrews 11 and 1. Would you like to be sure? Would you like to be confident? Would you like to be certain? Is that something you would like? Especially in what you hope for. Yeah. So everyone in this place is hoping for something. You've got that in the back of your mind. I hope I get that raise. I hope my family life is great. I hope this next week we have a great family time. I hope that this thing works itself out. I hope that the car guy that I took my car to calls and it's not $1 million to fix my car. We've got all these hopes. Would you like to be certain? Would you like to be sure about your hopes? Faith is one thing you can't really say you'll like until you've tried. So many times our hope seems flimsy. Would you agree? We've got this hope. I hope things will be this way. I'm really, really hoping. I hope that the world would be a better place. People have been hoping that for a long time. I hope that my children would change for the better. Hope I'll get that raise on my job. We hope and dream these things. But they seem flimsy, don't they? They seem like they're dependent on things that are out of our control. And they seem flimsy. But faith is this certainty. It's being sure. It's being confident. The word here for certainty. Now faith is being sure and being certain is this word in the Greek. Hupostasis. hupostasis. I keep saying that word wrong. It's a Greek word, hupostasis. And it means several things. It means foundation. It means substructure. It means firm. Now faith is hupostasis. It is certainty. It is foundation. Look at somebody say foundation. I'm going to talk about this word a little bit because that's a construction term. That's a term used in construction. When they are thinking about building a place, they are talking about the foundation. And that thing is laid way before pillars and beams go up. That foundation has to be certain, has to be sure.
All right.
Want to build something that won't fall over?
Yeah.
You need hupostasis. You want something that you can walk on and not fall through? Something that won't blow over with wind. Would you like your life to be that like that?
Yeah, yeah.
Hebrews 11 says that that is what faith is.
Preach.
Try that kind of faith. I guarantee you, you'll like it.
Yeah, all right. Come on.
But it is also used in a scientific understanding of existence and reality. So if you're a nerd, you can push up those nerd glasses. Hupostasis also means substance and the reality of being. So it's kind of a deep word here. Hebrews 11 and 3 says this, by faith we understand that the universe, we're talking about the universe here. We're not talking about your add-on kitchen that you're wanting to add to your house. We're talking about the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was made out of what was visible. So this is a scientifically advanced statement. It says that the world was framed by the word of God and that the things that we see, the things that make up this world are actually made by things that we don't see, things that are not clearly visible. Faith gives way in this scripture to atomic theory 2,000 years almost in advance. Right there in your Bible. Right there. It just says that the world was made by things you can't see. And science finally caught up and said, there's these atoms and we can't see them, but they're the smallest building block. And that's in your Bible. That is a scientifically advanced statement. That is faith right there. Faith is foundation and faith is substance. Even though it can't be seen, it is real. Faith is as real as anything you can see.
Yeah.
Do you believe that? Do you believe that faith is as real as anything you can see? It's real as the chair you're sitting on right now. It's as real as the hands in front of your face. It's real. That's the kind of hope we need in our life. That even when it can't be seen on the horizon, even when the answer can't be seen, it is that real and it is that present. It's not a weak, flimsy hope, but it's a foundational hope. It's a hope capable of framing and holding the entire universe together.
All right. Yeah.
Would you be willing to try something that is that powerful?
Yeah.
Would you be willing to try something and seeing if it works for you? I want to tell you that it won't cost you any money. We aren't here to rip you off with three easy payments of $19.99 and we'll show you how to get hupostasis in your life. We're not doing that. If you want to try faith today, you can, and it's for free. And if you try it, I think you'll like it. Now, I can understand skepticism. It's okay if you're watching this today and you're skeptical. We get that because let's be honest. Faith looks dumb.
Right.
Now, don't freak out. Don't leave the church up in arms. I didn't say faith is dumb.
That's right.
I'm saying that it sometimes looks dumb.
Good.
Would anybody agree with that? There's been times in life faith looks dumb.
Yeah.
Let me get this straight. You might be saying, people say this all the time. You want me to believe in a God that I've never seen and I've never heard him speak. You want me to do that? Seems kind of dumb. Let me get this straight. You want me to sing worship songs to and about this invisible king? And some people are moved to tears and they get all emotional and they put their hands up and it's just kind of weird. Seems kind of dumb. And let me get this straight. You want me to look past logic? You want me to look past science and believe that God can heal and God can raise from the dead? You really want me to believe that God can do the impossible? You really want me to believe that? Because that looks kind of dumb. Redemption Church, remember. I want you to remember Redemption Church. I want you to remember what it was like to be a skeptic. Because at one point, we were all skeptics. The guy speaking to you right now, there have been times in my life I was a harsh skeptic and critical of God. Remember where you were when you were that way. Religion has sometimes painted atheists to be devils and to be the enemies. But I'm here to tell you today that is not true. They are not devils. They are not the enemy. Perhaps we have simply forgotten the times we didn't have faith ourselves. Because if we are honest, we'll admit there are times in our life we thought faith was dumb. And if we're really honest, we'd admit that there are still times in our life that we struggle with faith. Can we get some honest people in the house? That we still struggle with faith sometimes. Look all around the room. You are not alone in that. So why in the world would we attack other people? We need not enter into arguments with atheists or people of other belief systems trying to win that argument. Instead, let's invite them to try. Invite them to try Jesus, to try faith. Because isn't that what made the difference in our life anyway? Isn't that what made the difference in your life? You tried Jesus and you liked him. You weren't won over by an argument. Someone didn't come along and rub two scriptures and you go, oh, I see how those two things make sense. No, you tried Jesus one day. Maybe you said a little prayer. Maybe you just felt his presence. Maybe you were in a worship service and you went, okay, I'm going to try this a little bit. And you tried it and you felt something and you liked it and that was the Lord. That's what made the difference. So let's not bring these arguments. Let's not bring hateful accusations because that's not what won you to Jesus. Can I get an amen in the house of God on that? How about we don't act like jerks to people who haven't tried faith yet? What do you say? How about we don't act like we're morally superior to every person that's walking around? Oh, I went to church today. Anyone who acts that way must not be truly thankful to have come in contact with the saving faith in Christ. We shouldn't feel superior because of faith. We should feel grateful because of faith, because it has reached down and lifted us up. It has saved us. Amen. There are times where Christians need to try faith and realize that they like it also. Yeah, I said that exactly how I meant to. I mean that you've been coming to church all these times and you've been coming to church and you've read your Bible and you know how to quote scripture. Very good. You still need to try faith because there are aspects of faith you have not yet tried. And if you try that, if you go further, you're going to like that. Just because we're professing to believe doesn't mean we are experiencing hypostasis faith. That sure foundation and substance that frames the world. Can we get real a little bit? Because this is convicting. Are you experiencing that kind of faith right now, Christians, that it's the power that framed the entire world? Can you really say that you have mastered that and you've got all there is about that? If you really had mastered that, don't you think our lives would look a little bit different? Don't you think our church would look and feel a little bit different if we were mastering that? So be convicted by that for a second. You can't say you like faith until you've really experienced it. We got a story that we're going to be looking at. Let's look at the story of Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5. And I'm going to ask little Robert to come up here. He did so good with our try it like it game. See if he tries, if he likes acting after trying it. So you're going to be Naaman, right? So you're just going to look up here and try to act out everything I say, all right? You ready for that? No? Okay, good. I heard yes. All right. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman was the commander of the army. Sounds pretty good, right? Pretty strong, right? Wait, look out there. Yeah. He's commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man. What do you think that looks like? Yeah, great. He was a great man in the sight of his master, and he was highly regarded. Right? You're not looking at me, you're looking at them. He's highly regarded because through him, the Lord had given victory to Abram. No, check this out. This is a guy who's not even, he's not even Jewish. He's not even serving Jehovah God. But God is using him to bring victory to his nation. That's what your Bible says. That'll trip you out a little bit. He was a valiant soldier. What's your soldier moves? You got any warrior moves? No? Arm wrestle? Oh, valiant moves. All right, got it. But, look at your scripture right there. He had leprosy. You got this huge long list of this guy. He's so strong. He's kung fu fighting. He's winning. God's using this guy to bring victory to a nation that doesn't even know the Lord. All this wonderful stuff. But, well, that but changes the entire story. But he had leprosy. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like there was something in your life that discredited everything about you? Sure, I do all this stuff, but I have a secret drug problem that nobody... Have you ever been there? Maybe I did really good in school, and I've got a good job, but I have an awful temper, all right? And it just discredits you. Naaman had all these great things, big, strong, valiant, smart, used of God. But he was a leper. Everywhere he went, he had to say, unclean, guys, unclean. Sorry, I am diseased. You could get sick and die from being around me. Pardon me. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 2. Now, bands from Aaron had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. Verse 3. And she said to her mistress, if only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of leprosy. Now, this slave girl had guts. What's this slave girl's name? No one knows. Unnamed slave girl ripped from her land. But this girl had guts. Can we say that she had faith? Where most slaves would have kept their head down, don't cause a ruckus, don't make a scene. She stepped out on faith and she said, your husband has leprosy, but I know a guy. And if she would just meet the prophet Elisha, he'd get healed. Yeah. So we're moving ahead. 2 Kings 5 and 9. So Naaman went with his horses. You're riding horses, man. Show us horses. You got riding horses? All right, got to work on that. And chariots, and he stopped at the door of Elisha's house. So, okay, you're up at the door of Elisha's house. Knock on that door. Say, hey, Elisha. You're knocking on the door of Elisha. We're knocking on the door. Hey, Elisha, come out. What would you expect at this point? You'd expect Elisha to come out. Elisha didn't come out. Verse 10, Elisha sent a messenger to him. Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. Verse 11, Naaman went away angry. So go away angry. You're angry. Naaman's angry. Why is he angry? Well, I've come all this way. I'm kind of a big deal. God kind of uses me too. And this guy sends out a messenger to me. Verse 11, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. So come back here, Naaman. So we're mad because we have this picture in our head, right? You have this picture in your head, Naaman, that Elisha is going to come out. He's going to wave his hands because how else will you be healed? Somebody waves their hands. And they say magic words, Jesus or Jehovah or the name of the Lord somehow. And then at that moment, I'm going to be healed. And it didn't happen the way he thought it would happen. And he's very angry about it. But he goes on further because he starts thinking. Verse 12, are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. You're mad again. You're off in a rage. Huffing and puffing. We're stomping. We're angry. Naaman is mad at the prophet of Elisha. The very guy that later in the story, spoiler alert, is going to heal him. He's mad at him. How dare he not come and talk to me? How dare he only send a servant to talk to me? I thought, look at somebody say, I thought. See, that's a dangerous two-word phrase right there. I thought, when it comes to faith, I thought. I thought the prophet would have prayed in the name of the Lord and waved his hands over me. I thought that I'd be healed instantly. I had this picture of how it would happen. I'm talking to somebody today. Maybe you came to church today and you have this picture of how God's going to do it. Let me tell you, that can keep you from what God wants to do in your life. You got to let that go sometimes. Faith will let that go. Faith will let that go. And another thing, Naaman thinks. He wants me to dip in that awful, dirty, murky Jordan River. There are other rivers around that would be more suitable. They would be more logical. They would actually be on the way home. I could just do it on my way home. Why not send me there? He sent me to a nasty river. This guy's playing tricks on me. All this stuff is working in his head. And another thing, why wash 7 times? He didn't say that in scripture. I kind of added that. Why 7 times? What's up with that? Has God ever told you to do something and you said, well, why do it like that, God? Why can't God just heal me with 1 wash? Why 7? I thought it would be different. You might be sitting in your life with that sentence. I thought my life would be different than it is right now. Now, here's the disclaimer. We aren't against thought. We aren't against logic. Neither is God. But I want to tell you something. Thinking is not faith. I'm not telling you to get rid of all thinking, but I'm telling you that thinking can get in the way of faith. Naaman's thoughts almost caused him to walk away angry and die with his leprosy. Verse 13, Naaman's servants went to him. Come on. Hey, Naaman, come back here. Come back here. Your servant wants to talk to you. My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? You'd have done it, right? Because you're brave and you're strong and you're valiant. How much more then when he tells you wash and be cleaned? Let's explain what's happening here. Listen, Naaman, had the prophet told you to go do something great, go do something dangerous? I mean, you are a soldier, man. You are a leader of army. You're a leader of men. You are brave. If he would have told you to do something heroic, if he would have told you to storm gates, you would have gotten your army and gone and done it. Now he's telling you to do something way easier. Why can't you get that? That's what the servant, he had some good servants. Not just that little girl back home, but these servants right here. How much better is it that he only told you to wash and be cleaned? In other words, his servants are telling Naaman, try it. You'll like it. Try what the prophet said. You very may well like it. If you're healed, Naaman, I guarantee you're going to like it. Do we see at this point that Naaman doesn't like faith? He's done very little here but get angry. He's taken a trip and he's just got hacked off. That's all he's done right now. If the story ended right here, he would just be mad. That would be the only way his story changed. Right? At this point, he can't say, I really like faith. At this point, he can't say, you know what? I sure like that prophet and his God. He can't say those things. He hasn't been healed. Naaman, you have to decide. You have to decide, Naaman, where this story will end. Does it end here? Does it end like this? Or does it end somewhere else? Naaman, you have to decide how worth it is to try it. And everyone in this house, you have to decide that too. Is it worth it to try it? You need to figure that out really quick. There could be healing on the other side of this decision. For you today, there could be victory on the other side of your decision. You could walk off mad. You could walk off angry. Or you could try it and see what God does. For you in this place today, watching on the internet, there could be a miracle on the other side of this decision. It could happen. I believe it. I've seen it.
All right.
There could be peace and hope for you waiting. Are you willing to try faith? Are you willing to do it? What if it means you have to get in a dirty, gross river? What if I pulled out a really big, gross baptistry and we threw all kinds of gross stuff in it? Would you get in it? Hey, bring that baptistry out, right? No, you wouldn't, would you? No, you wouldn't want to do that. I was kidding. We don't have that. I'm just kidding. No, he's worried again. All right. What if it means you have to do something you don't want to do? What if it means you have to do something that's uncomfortable? What if it means you have to do something it's totally new to you? What if it means you have to do something other people might think you're crazy? What if it means that? What if it means that you aren't in control? Because we love to feel like we're in control. Even with all that, would you still try it? Naaman, you can't like faith until you try it. So we read in 2 Kings 5:14. So he went down and he dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times. So you're washing in the Jordan. We're washing. Yep. Don't forget there. Wash under there. All right. He, as the man of God told him to do, that's what he's doing. And his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. So, you're healed of leprosy. Are you glad you obeyed the man of God? Yes. If you were healed today from obedience, wouldn't you be glad? Naaman, are you glad that you tried faith? Are you glad you tried faith?
Praise God.
So guess what happens from there? Then the declaration happens. See, the declaration can't happen until you've tried it. Verse 15. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know." You see, earlier I thought. But now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Please accept now a gift from your servant. A whole new different Naaman shows up here. Actually, faith shows up here. It shows up because he tried it. Gone are the arguments about what river he should use. Gone are the hurt feelings that Elisha didn't show up himself and talk to me. Why? Because all that matters is the leprosy is gone. There is something God can do in your life that all your arguments are gone. There is something that God can do in your life today that all your confusion and all your anger and all your hurt feelings can be gone. Because all that really matters is you coming in contact with Jesus and seeing what he does in your life. Most things in life, you can't say you like them until you've tried them. From the outside, faith looks dumb. It's okay to say it. You're telling me that I need to dip in a gross river. That's dumb. From the outside, faith definitely looks dumb. But how does it look from the inside? Naaman, how does it look after you've been healed? How does it look after God saved your family? How does it look after you've seen a miracle? How does it look after your depression is gone and now you have hope and you have peace? How does it look when you no longer have a suicidal thought? How does it look then? Oh, it looks pretty good. From the delivered side, it looks pretty good. From the saved and forgiven side, it looks pretty smart. From the side, it looks like the smartest thing you will ever do in life. But you'll never get there unless you try it. Whatever you're facing today, the problems you're facing today could be gone, just like Naaman's leprosy is gone. Thank you very much. You can give him a hand. Try it. Try faith. And I don't know what that all looks for you. That could look different from all of us. But there is something you can do to try faith. I dare you to do it, and I challenge you to do it. If you try it, I think you'll like it. But how do you try faith? Katie's going to come in a moment. We're going to be opening up this altar. But first, this is a really important question. How do you try faith? Hebrews 11 and 6 tells us, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." See, if you've got like crazy thoughts on what faith is and how to try faith and how to be a Christian, and you've got like this list of things that it takes, I want to do away with all that real quick. Can you throw that all away? Because Hebrews 11 and 6 tells us there's only two things. Look at somebody, hold up two and say there's two things. Listen up, there's two things. There's two things. You want to try faith today? Here they are, two things. I'm not telling you have to be a perfect, sinless person. If it took that, I would be out. And it isn't telling you to never miss another church service. It's not telling you that you have to talk about the Bible in every conversation. It's none of those things. It's these two things. Number one, can you believe that it's possible for there to be a God? I'm not saying that you're absolutely certain. I know that there's a God. I'm not even saying that. We're backing off of that statement. We're saying, can you believe it's possible that God could exist? That there could be a God? You look up there in that scripture. You must believe that he exists. Can you believe that it's possible that he exists? Do you believe that there is a God? At the very least, can you believe it's possible? Because we'll start there. If you can believe it's possible, you're ready for next step two. Here it is. If there is a God, do you believe he will reward a search for him? That's all it takes to try faith. That's all it takes to come to God. I think there could be a God, and I think if he's real, he would reward my search for him. If you believe those two things, you're ready to try faith. Don't make it more complicated than that today. I believe that there is a God. God, if you're there, I believe that you would hear me. And I believe that if you heard me, you wouldn't be mad that I'm talking to you. Can you do that? Can you come to that place today? Don't delay. It's important that you do it right now. I've got one more quick story to tell you. Very quick. Faith does not live in the past. Faith does not live in the future. Faith lives in the present. Faith lives right here and right now. The quick story paints this out. It's in John chapter 11. Jesus arrives at the tomb of Lazarus, and he speaks with Martha. Martha's upset because her brother has died. And she tells Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." That's what she says. If you had been here, what is she saying? She's saying she has faith in the past. I have faith that if you would have been here a few days ago, you might have been somewhere like that in your life. God, I have faith that if you would have been there when I was a kid and stopped that abuse from happening, if you would have been there and saved my parents' marriage, I'm really sorry, but faith doesn't live in the past. Verse 23, Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." What is she saying? She's saying, "Jesus, I have faith that in the future, my brother will be alive again." She had faith in the past and she had faith in the future, but it didn't raise her brother from the dead. Because faith, it really doesn't live in the past. It doesn't live in the future. But Jesus, here's what happens in the story. Jesus in the present walks right up to that tomb and he yells, "Lazarus, come forth." And at that moment, that's where faith becomes active. And that man who was dead is raised from the dead. I'm telling somebody in this place, you need a now faith. It's really easy to be stirred by the word of God and be stirred by this and be saying, okay, I need to do this, but I'll do it tomorrow. It doesn't work that way. Don't pass this moment by. And it's real easy to say, God, I would do that, but my past is all messed up. None of that matters. Your past does not matter. Your future doesn't matter. What matters is right now. Why does right now matter? Because that's the only thing you can experience is the right here and right now. God fills all of the past. He fills all of the present. He's everywhere. He's been waiting on you to reach this point of now. And here you are. Will you try faith now? What are the first two words of Hebrews 11 and 1? Remember, it's the definition of faith. What are the first two words? Let's look at that scripture one more time. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Make no mistake, that now was not just a throw-in word. He wanted you to know it is now faith. It is current. It is present. Don't let a present moment go by without trying faith. Don't look to the past right now. Don't look to the future. Try faith right now. These altars are open right now for anyone who wants to try faith. We've worshiped the Lord together. We've received the word of God together. Now we're going to invite you to talk to God. If you want special prayer, you come up in the first 2 feet. We believe that you're going to try that. You're going to like what God does in this place. But if you don't come up in these places, we're not going to bother you. We know that God has something for you. So as Katie begins to sing, why don't you just try faith? Why don't you just say, God, I believe that you exist. And I believe that you're going to reward this search for you right now.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.